Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, guys, I see that there's a couple of you on the chat. Please don't forget to support us with a like on this video. It helps us get on the algorithm and help us grow our channel with a subscribe. Turn on notifications so you don't miss when we go live and when we post content. Per usual, I'll remind you, we are funded, self-funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people. So your contributions to our channel make all the difference. And with that, I'll say thank you to Shooter305, always looking out with a $5 donation saying, incoming, well, actually, I'm learning how to use this new system, guys. Incoming scorched earth moments. We got an abundance of desgraciados this week. Put in the chat who you think the desgraciado of the week is.
I think we got a few today.
All right, guys. So while the chat, Andrew, you know what I can't see on here? How many people are on the chat and how many people are watching?
There's 40 people watching. I'm on YouTube because I'm still getting used to it, but yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. So check us out. Before we get started, we want to give a shout out to our sponsors at Century H2O. If you guys have not checked out the product, I strongly encourage you to, not just because they believe in Mostly Peaceful Latinas, but also because they have an incredible product. For those of you who are unaware and it's your first time watching, Century H2O is an under-the-sink water filtration system that doesn't take space up on your kitchen sink, comparable to a lot of the 2000 type water filters that are out there in the market. It's very comparable. It's very good in price, very affordable, and under $300. A lot less space than most of these big water filters, goes right under the sink. It doesn't just filter your water for all of the usuals that we know, the carcinogens, the fluoride, and all the stuff that makes frogs turn gay, but also infuses the water with minerals that you need to keep you healthy. Not just that, not only is it an incredible product, but also they are delivering 200 units of water filtration systems to families in East Palestine today. They are not at their goal yet, so we are encouraging you to show them support. Buy a filter for yourself, buy one for a family in need in the East Palestine area, and show us some support. And you can use code MPL10 at CenturyH2O for that. Definitely check the product out. So we got an exciting show. I mean, the news lines are a little slow, would say, yeah. But we do got a show. We want to tell you guys about our experience at Mar-a-Lago. We want to talk about RF Kennedy Jr. joining the fight. We're going to talk about Budweiser, but we're not going to mention what's his face because we're sick and tired of hearing it. And we want to talk to you guys a little bit about a personal experience that we've encountered. Lawfare is very real, and we had Mostly Peaceful had a big victory in court this week, and we'll be sharing that with you guys.
We'll be sharing that, yeah. Mostly Peaceful had a victory in court. That's so true.
It really
is. That's true. Well, the first thing we want to, you know, talk about is our experience at Mar-a-Lago. We went to see President Trump. We went to greet President Trump when he came back from the communist state of New York after they arranged him, and he had 34 felony counts over. We're not really sure what the crime is because they don't really say what the crime is. The crime is just trying to make America great again. And according to the district attorney of New York, a communist Soros-backed district attorney, according to him, Trump's crime is that he paid this hush money and he was trying to sway public opinion on the election and have people vote for him, even though, if you guys remember, Trump did not win New York, the state of New York, in 2016 or 2020. So obviously this is a
witch hunt,
political persecution. But anyways, we went over to Palm Beach to go greet the president and
support the president.
Most importantly, and I think it was a very somber day. Bella and I were talking about it that day. We were kind of like, we're a little bit down. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit sad the whole day because it's not just an attack on Trump. It's an attack on us because we choose this guy. We choose Trump to represent us. This is who the majority of the country wants leading the nation. Does that make sense? So, especially being an immigrant, seeing that this already happened in my home country, this already happened in Colombia, our ex-president, a really, really good president, President Alba Uribe, was already on house arrest for human rights violations. So this is just what happens in banana republics. And I think it's really sad that if you told me this was going to happen 4 years ago, I would have told you that you were on drugs and possibly like not well in the head, because this would never happen in America, but it's happening now. And I think the craziest part about it is seeing how there were so many politicians that just said nothing at all. Nothing. So many Republicans, even people that Trump helped win their elections that he endorsed, that were just completely silent about the persecution of a former president, someone who hasn't done anything. He's so clean that they're trying to get him on hush payments. Like, this is what you guys, this is what people don't understand. They've been calling Trump a criminal. They've been saying that Trump, cheated the election, colluded with Russia. Then it was a phone call with Zelensky. So many things that they've said that Trump has done, that they went after his companies, his organization, a total witch hunt. And what we find is that they want to charge him over hush monies to a potential, or ex porn star potential affair that he had, that he denies that he had, and she denied that he had. And this happened over 7 years ago, more or less, maybe 10 years ago.
She also denied the affair.
So,
and here's, I think that it should be stated, the majority of us are not part of like the 1% class. We don't know what it's like to be slandered by somebody and pay somebody a small amount of money so they can just go away, sign an NDA, and never speak your name again. There are people that make a grift out of scamming someone by holding their reputation hostage. So I meet you, we have a nice time. Maybe, who knows, I buy you a drink. Maybe you show me your boobs. I don't know. Now you show up a year later and you're like, I had an affair with you. Now, both of them deny the affair. So we know that that's not what happened. But who's to say? She's like, well, I'm going to tell everybody that you're going, that this potentially happened between us, unless you give me money. And you just say, you know what? There's nothing wrong in what it was that we actually did, but I want to make you sign an NDA to make sure that you don't talk about it. Rich people do that all the time. This is not unheard of. NDAs make people off. Like, this is something that's normally happens. Now, the first thing is, you might think that that's not morally right and you're completely entitled to that. You're probably amongst the same group of people that were offended by grab them by the you know what. But it wasn't illegal. They've taken this very normal standard NDA type payment, mm-hmm. and they've convoluted that with his 2016 campaign and made it a felony by stating that he was trying to, first of all, influence an election, wrongfully voting, influencing an election, and that he was paying this off with by trying to scam money out of the campaign. So what it really goes down to is that it was a clerical error that they're getting him on how the money was filed, because it was paid to this third party, which was the attorney, and how it was filed on the Trump books was that it was a payment, I guess, instead of an expense, it was labeled something else. But really all it comes down to is a technicality on the accounting books. It's not the actual act of it.
Well, these people ran both the attorney general and the district attorney, Letitia James and Braggs. They both ran on a campaign to get President Trump. Like, that's what they ran on. They ran on, we are going to get President Trump. We are not going to rest until we find a case against Trump and he goes behind bars. So that is why George Soros donated like $1 million, I think, to a PAC that went to this guy. So, what I think is reassuring to me is Trump's attitude towards the entire situation, right? He's very calm. Obviously, he goes on Truth Social and he'll post certain things here and there. But if you see his demeanor, if you saw him in court, if when we saw him live, he's very calm, he's very composed. Obviously, it's a stress on him and his family, but I think that he knows that he will prevail, right? I think that he knows that this is just another sham, possibly to take away the, like, distract people from everything else that is going on, from the dollar collapsing.
Of course.
From, you know, the housing market.
And they're
market,
stretching
from
this
everything.
Out because yeah. court isn't even due until December. So, you know, this is just the next big lie that they're going to stretch out so that they can have Trump's media headlines out there. For the most part, it seemed like the energy at Mar-a-Lago, while it was very somber, it was also very uplifting because Trump is talking very realistically about what it is that's going on. He made the comparison to what we're watching right now, to living in a third world country. As I mentioned, I was talking earlier this week on an interview that I was on, where one of the things that has been the, I guess one of the things that you can say has affected me the most with the Trump indictment mm-hmm. has been listening to my dad speak on it. My family escaped communism. My father saw communism be ushered into Cuba. He saw his mother fight it. He saw his mom go to jail for it. He became an orphan at 6 years old for the next 9-12 years that my grandmother was locked up as a political prisoner. They escaped when my grandmother was let out of Cuba. They escaped to go to Venezuela. And it was through Venezuela, after several years of waiting, that they were allowed entryway into America in search of the American dream, in search of freedom. And it's so sad to hear my father, who escaped communism, speak about his opinion of what he's watching happening to not just Donald Trump, but even the persecution that he's seen me endure and that he's watching Republicans have to endure, and how reminiscent that is of what he experienced when he saw communism be ushered into Cuba. And it's happened all so slowly that I don't think people realize just exactly far gone we've gotten as a country. This is unprecedented. What you just said about the politicians mm-hmm. not talking about it,
it's really scary.
What kind of times are we in that this is allowed from any side of the political aisle? This witch hunt shouldn't be allowed on a former president, because Democrats should also be worried, because this is opening up the door and setting the precedent for it to happen again. And mm-hmm. I'd hate to think that a Republican would rise to power and be unfair. Lord knows that there's a lot of former Democrat presidents that they could go after with justifiable reason. But who's to say that it can't be used and weaponized when there isn't a reason? So it just sets a really ugly precedent for the country.
Agreed. Agreed. But overall, we got to be positive. We got to be God-pilled. Today is Jueves Santo. What? How do you say that in English? Oh, Holy Thursday. You guys don't have
to. You guys say Holy Thursday in English?
Do people for Semana Santa, for Holy Week? Well, in Colombia, we do. So today for Colombia, and tomorrow is Good Friday, but today would be, guess, Cubans Good Thursday. Too. Do they? It is Holy Thursday. So we obviously, we're God-pilled. And we trust God, and I trust God, and I trust that whatever happens, America is a very blessed land, right? And that is why our Constitution, that is why a lot of our founding documents are actually inspired by the Bible, inspired by Christianity. So I think that everything will work out. I don't doubt that we're going to go through very hard times. We mentioned the fall of the dollar. So basically, all these countries are conspiring without us. And again, this is why the dictators were okay with Trump. This is why he was able to have a relationship with the Chinese guy, with the Russian guy, with the guy from North Korea. And everything was, I would say, okay in the world. But now, what I was explaining to my friend yesterday was, once Trump was out of the White House, once Trump stopped being the alpha man and taking, like, having control of the world, once that happened, Vladimir Putin's the one that took over that role. And Vladimir Putin is the one that's leading the African nations out of the enslavement that they've had with the United States of America. So a lot of people don't realize that, because remember, they keep us away from all Russian propaganda.
Correct.
So they have made it seem like the whole world was canceling Russia, when the reality is that the world wasn't canceling Russia. It was just the US and some of the European countries canceling Russia, while Russia was getting all of these different partnerships with China, with Iran, with Saudi Arabia, with the African countries. And now they're just they're confabulating against us, and we're going.
This would have never. This would have never happened under Donald Trump. But this is what happens when you have weak leadership in the West, right? This is a point that's been stressed time and time again.
Yeah.
As immigrants and exiles, we know that if America fails, the world fails. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to leave and migrate to. And when you have weak leadership in the West, when there's weak leadership in the United States of America, it destabilizes the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And what we're watching right now with China, India, North Korea, Brazil coming together, there is an effort to destabilize the American dollar. And quite frankly, who can blame them in thinking that they can do this? Mm. We made a comment about this last week, which is the reality is that a lot of people don't want to hear this because, yes, we agree, communism is bad. I hate communists. I don't think communism should be allowed to exist. But in this order that we're living in right now, these communist countries are the only ones that have the absolute power to protect themselves from globalists because the rest of us have to play along. So what we are watching right now is also something that people got to, all about perspective. Things aren't just black and white. A lot of things are gray. Is it really just an attack on America, or is America so in bed with the globalists that it's an effort to destabilize globalism? Perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you guys saw the news today, which is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has entered the presidential race, and he seeks the 2024 bid for the Democratic Party.
He's going to challenge
Joe Biden. Yeah.
And I mean, realistically, I think he has a good chance of winning against the cabbage, don't you think?
I don't.
Why not? Do you think that it's not, you don't think that the Democrat Party is at a point where it's become so radicalized where moderate Democrats are looking for a candidate that they can identify with?
I don't think he's the guy, though. I think
not
they
for
would.
Me.
For Democrats, I think that Robert Kennedy Jr. has been Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been a dissident of the Democratic Party because of his stance on vaccines, especially, and he has a very strange like following, which is mostly just like the anti-vaccine people. Or the people that question vaccines, right. Whatever you want to call them, they spread across the aisle. There's like libertarians, there is Republicans, there's Democrats, but he is not necessarily liked by his own party, if that makes sense.
Fairness. I have seen a couple of affluent Republicans, if you will, that turned on Trump because they blame 1,000 years of vaccine programming on one man, talking about how they would consider switching party affiliation in order to be able to vote for Rob Kennedy. Just people on the internet, you know, people on the internet.
I mean, you don't have to switch parties to vote for him, I guess, in the primaries,
right? People are making the comment to primaries, which isn't necessarily the case in every state. But then you have some of the anti, you know, Anomaly is one of those people who's like,
Anomaly was always
gushing now. Yeah. So excited about a potential run with Robert Kennedy. And it's like, the entire focus of Anomaly's platform for the better of the last 2 years has been to shit on Trump because he's not as anti-vax as Anomaly wants him to be.
Yeah.
And then you're going to elevate this guy. And this is the argument that we've made time and time again. I cannot stress this part enough. I could care a rat's ass if the next politician ever mentions the COVID shot. I don't care, and here's why. Because as somebody who's followed this topic since way before that shot, there were many shots before it that hurt children. And when the mothers spoke out about how these shots hurt their children, they were called crazy. They were called what did they call them when they didn't have their shots?
Killers.
That they were killers. That they were disgusting. That they had viruses. Just like Rappaport today when he was screaming at Marjorie Taylor Greene, because we've seen how mothers that have seen the side effects of the other shots have been treated for decades. I don't care to have a politician point out the problems with that one shot, because pointing out the problem with that one shot is a slap in the face to all of the other people that have had side effects from the other ones that you don't care to mention. There is no distinction. The more that you try and say, I want him to talk about this shot, I want him to talk about this shot, I don't care if they never talk about it. Unless we're going to have a true leader for that movement that is truly anti-shot, which it is not Rob Kennedy. If you guys have not seen the video that we posted on the Mostly Peaceful Latinas Instagram, I would suggest that you do. He actually considers himself a pro-shot person, says that he's always been pro-shot. He makes statements how in the past he's been, he's talked about, taking the mercury out of fish, and that he's not anti-fish, that this is just him wanting to make safer shots. There are people that believe that there are no safe shots. Therefore, those people are truly anti-shot, not this guy. So it's ironic to see somebody like Anomaly, whose entire grift is shitting on Trump because he's not as anti-vaccine as he wants him to be, now get excited about somebody like Robert Kennedy just because he's made mention of that one shot, but not the other ones, just that one.
Bro, I'm dying in the comments.
What are they going through? I want to know.
I'm dying in the comments with Christ and Gray. Like, that is one of the greatest things that Shooter 305 has ever come up with. Christ and, oh my God, it's so funny. Every time he says it, I just like, I die laughing. Yeah, Anomaly is very cringe. He's been crying about Trump for 3 years now, and you know, it is what it is. We're like, we just move on. And again,
we don't even care to talk about it.
We don't care to talk about it. I mean, I tell you guys, when you go on Twitter, there is a different reality than there is. It's a completely different reality than TikTok, as an example. And I have to say TikTok because it's decentralized, right? So the explorer page of Instagram can show you things that like you like relate to, but it's not as like specific as TikTok. And when we go on TikTok, and I have some screenshots, I didn't post them yesterday. Did I show them to you? That I was watching this Trump video, and the guy was like, oh, I used to not like Trump, and da da da. And like, there's a lot of people who have humanized Trump, or he's become like, you know, more funny to them because they're seeing clips and he's not in office.
And it's all the content that we were putting out in 2019, right? 2020 is making this comeback on TikTok.
And it's people viral. Have never seen it.
They
people
love have never him. Seen they him. Realize they that love he's him. Wholesome. You said it best the other day. Uh-huh. He's having his,
it's like human, they humanize him.
He's having a Steve Carell moment from the office. Yeah. That was like they love him and they make memes about him. And you guys remember the moment in Halloween where he puts the chocolate bar on the little minion's head? Like, they're finding this content and they're loving it. And we're convinced that it's because that kind of content is decentralized on TikTok. So it does have the ability, because people will argue you can see conservative content anywhere in the internet, maybe, but you don't get conservative content pushed anywhere else on the internet like you do with TikTok. Mm. This content is going viral. We're talking about millions of views on a 3-4-year-old video of Donald Trump. And the other part that people will not mention is that everybody wants to talk about how TikTok is ruining Gen Z, and you know, there's a degeneracy and all these other things. Dude, the Gen Zers are the ones that are loving this content on TikTok because there is a pendulum swinging. There is a rebellion that's taking place from this generation, which wants to be anti-status quo. The status quo is to be woke, and they don't want to be that way. So they know that the rebellion exists in being pro-Trump, so they like this content. I wouldn't be surprised if the attack on TikTok has a lot to do with wanting to silence these young pro-Trump voices.
I think the whole thing, honestly, is before the election. And by the way, we have a TikTok on Mostly Peaceful Latinas. You can follow us there and see that I posted a video on Tuesday night, a video of President Trump walking into the ballroom of Mar-a-Lago after he arrived from New York. And that video has about 225,000 views and hundreds of comments pro and against, obviously. But nevertheless, But what we've realized with an account that has seven, just put it this way, my Wake Up with Linda account has 142,000 followers, right? Mm-hmm. And that video has 118,000 views, okay? Our TikTok for the podcast only has 7,000 followers. Well, when I posted that, it only had like 6,500 followers. And it's gotten 220,000 views.
We have 6,500 followers
already? We had 6,500. Now we have 7,000.
On TikTok already? Yeah. I thought we only had 3,000.
Yeah.
Look at us growing.
Why do we have to hide the bestia? Who the hell is that guy? Oh, he's just angry. I don't know.
Angry. Some hater. I feel like those are stragglers. Look, that come from Ali's.
From Ali's, yeah. From Ali's so, page. Here's the thing with Robert Kent. I don't even know why people are excited. First of all, that guy sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Like, I would never want to listen. One of the reasons why I can never get into his content was because of his voice and how bad he sounds. You can't be a shitty public speaker with a bad voice and be a politician. That just doesn't work out. It's not going to work out.
Valid. I see it.
You know?
I guess that... What I was telling you today earlier, which I just feel like there's everything is to go against Donald Trump. And we've already seen the DeSantis campaign take the shadow campaign, take this angle where if they position themselves as being anti, COVID heroes or whatever that they want to call themselves and then making Trump the enemy because of warp speed, then it's like if everybody's coming together to make the shots, the way to take him down. So then you elevate this, you know, anti-shot Democrat, and now you've got even conservatives saying like, oh, well, this is going to be a good race. You're going to have two guys that are out speaking the truth or whatever, fighting. And it's like, is it a psyop though? Is it a psyop? Like I told you, can he win the vote? No, but can he take a chunk of the moderate vote? Can DeSantis take a chunk of the conservative vote? Can you have somebody, I don't know who else is in the race, a Pompeo and Nikki Haley, take a chunk of that, take a chunk here. And before you know it, that's reflective of Trump
took down like 16 candidates the first time around.
Yeah.
There was like 16 people running for president on the Republican side. So I'm not really, I mean, it is what it is. It's like this guy just said, Trump was pushing for an alternative treatment. Trump didn't want to close. Trump didn't want the vaccine. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. There's nothing we can do about it now. I think that the majority of these people that have become vehemently anti-Trump after the whole thing with COVID, I think that it's pretty much like they want to judge his time outside of the White House, which ended on January 26th of 2021. They want to judge his time outside of the White House as his time, like, still in the White House, right?
So
like,
what has
he done after that? Like, they're holding him accountable while he was a private citizen and had his PAC and had rallies and continue to support the Republican Party and certain candidates and whatnot. So that's one part that I don't understand. And also the history revisionists, because they lie about like the Fauci situation, right? So
yes, they do.
They hold them accountable for Fauci. Well, Fauci has been a federal employee for years, way before like Trump was even around.
We've talked about supposed to be? Fauci's been in power since the 80s.
Right.
His job was viral. Right. Diseases.
Like he really, like Trump had like in okay, one thing, let's separate like how we feel and what's reality, right? So these people have jobs. Like they have you have a contract with the federal government and that's your job. Unless you are actually failing at your job, which Fauci wasn't doing that because he was doing what he was supposed to do for his job. I mean, I didn't like it. You didn't like it. People didn't like it. How could he get fired? Does that make sense?
Right. That's exactly. Imagine if Trump would have been like, you know what, dude, you're sketchy. My following doesn't like you. I'm just going to fire you. A guy that's been employed and waiting for this moment in American history to shine for the last 50 years in politics. And you want Donald Trump, one of the most microscoped men in America, that every decision he was making related to COVID to be like, I'm going to fire this guy. There's no thought process there. The last thing he could have done was fire Fauci. Trump is not a biologist. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. Trump wasn't going to be able to make. He needed to go to the experts. And you guys act like if he chose Fauci out of a hat. Fauci had been
Dr. Atlas,
expert, the expert for 40 plus years. So what the hell was he supposed to do? There's no logic behind the argument, but it's like you just said, rewriting history.
They're rewriting history. They're history revisionists, but it is what it is. I can't find our little list. Where is it?
I sent it to your email.
Well, let's go into the Budweiser situation. So as you guys know, and honestly, I don't want to talk about Dylan Mulvaney and why he is representing women. It is what it is. There's nothing that we can do about it. And I just find it very annoying that every time I go on Twitter or YouTube, it's the same conservatives posting the same thing. Of every single week, every single time that Dylan Mulvaney gets sponsored by a brand, which there's been like 13 of them already.
The Daily Wire does like 80% of the advertisement. Yeah,
like the Daily Wire is like the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh are like Dylan Mulvaney's like personal PR agents, which is fucking hilarious. Not shocked, but here's the thing. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of perspective on the beer industry. The first thing is that I said on Twitter was there is a woman behind the Budweiser situation. Like, I can see how the trannification of Bud Light was caused by a female. And the reason why I know that is because for two different things. The first one is women are the number one enablers of the global homo regime, right? Women love gays, women love drag queens, women love transgenders, and they cheer on transgenders. And when you go on the comment section of Dylan Mulvaney, you're going to find that 90% or 95% of Dylan's audience and people that are cheering him on are all females. Okay, so we are our own worst enemies. We are the reason why these men are being elevated to these positions, right? Like, I can't even blame Dylan Mulvaney, because it's a bunch of you girls, obviously mostly liberal women, liberal white women to be specific, are the ones that are cheering this on. So when I was in the beer industry, I've told you guys before, I was in the beer industry for a couple of years, and I remember that there was a big push in the industry to bring in more women in leadership roles. Why is that? Because the beer industry was traditionally a male-dominated industry. Think about who drinks beer, right? It's usually men. And if you do drink beer, a lot of times women prefer something light. That's why Amstel Light exists, Heineken Light, Corona Light, Bud Light, Miller Coors Light. And when I was there, they wanted to bring more women in. And that's why I told Bella, I'm like, there's this for sure. This situation where Budweiser, where they thought to themselves, we're going to bring in a transgender. I don't actually think that Dylan Mulvaney is a transgender. I think that Dylan's just an actor playing a role that they're paying him for. But that's just me. But, you know, I'm like, only a woman would think of such stupidity and be able to get away with it. And it was indeed a woman. We found out through, I guess, Garbage Human. If you guys follow Garbage Human on Instagram, he posts a lot of like just black-pilled content all day long, but a lot of times it's hilarious. And today he posted that it was indeed a white or Jewish woman. Let me see what her name is. Who is the VP of Anheuser-Busch? Okay, here he is. Alyssa Gordon Henersheed. she has a she her pronouns, and she's a VP Bud Light, first female to lead the largest beer brand in the industry, and she is in New York. So
this is why people talk about women in leadership,
right?
This is exactly why they talk about women in leadership, and why even I have to question it sometimes, because I know that we're in a rarity. Like, the majority of women out there, unfortunately, whether or not you want to get mad, do believe in these culture wars. And I'm sure that it has a lot to do with women leading with feelings and all this stuff. But this is why they make poor leaders. Mm-hmm. This is a really bad decision.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But here's the other thing that they're not talking about, because I did see some conservatives on social media saying the reason why Budweiser and Jack Daniels and all these brands are hiring these transgender and gay individuals or activists or actors, whatever, to be the face of these brands is because they're scared of the gay mafia, because they're gay mafia. If you don't fuck with them, then they come after you. That's actually not true. And I'm going to give you guys the insider, because I sponsored Pride in Miami when I used to work at Heineken. It was my idea. It was approved by the brand, but it was my idea. And if you are a marketer and you understand different demographics, how they purchase, the bias journey, how much money they have, then you target those individuals. And so being here in Miami, I had budgets for different brands. And when we were trying to appeal to women with Heineken Light, and I had certain accounts, certain alternative lifestyle accounts, that's what we call them, right? Like the gay accounts were alternative lifestyle. And I remember that I somehow talked to the people that own Pride, and I was like, look, why was I targeting the gays? It wasn't because I wanted to be cool with the gays or because I actually cared about their Pride week. It was because gays don't really have kids, and they have more money to spend, and they have a more party like lifestyle.
Centered lifestyle.
So they have more money to spend on alcohol. Right. So everything that they're doing is like strategic. It's not necessarily, I mean, maybe this woman, because she is a woman and they simp so hard for the transgenders and the gays, mm-hmm. she probably has a little bit of like, oh yeah, like we got to support the gays, like tranny rights, right? But the reality is that a lot of these decisions are based on like demographics and how they spend their money when it comes to the gay population. Like they have more money to spend because they traditionally don't have kids.
Do you think that the average gay guy is drinking Bud Light, though?
No, but that they're trying to appeal to them. They're trying to break through. So, and again, for Dylan Mulvaney, I mean, for Dylan, the choice is more about women. Like they know that 90% of Dylan's audience is a female. So they're trying to actually market females. And for them to drink females. I mean, a lot of times this barely translates into any sales, because it's not like you just go to the grocery store and say like, oh, I remember Dylan Mulvaney. Like it doesn't always translate into sales. A lot of it is like brand awareness, but you can tell that's the direction that they're taking, because women traditionally will drink light. That's what they like. Corona Light, Heineken Light, Amstel Light, and then Bud Light.
I think, when this first came out, I remember you making the comment where you're like, people are so ridiculous trying to cancel Bud Light. Like, you'll never be able to cancel at Anheuser-Busch, because there's such a big umbrella with so many different brands under them. What I have seen online is that there's a lot of like retailers. Like, I've seen retailers that are now refusing to take on into their stores or into their personal bars. And it seems like that would have more of an effect, I would think, than like individual users deciding that they weren't going to drink Budweiser products anymore.
So the liquor industry, it depends. Like you, for example, they'll probably never be able to get out of like the Hooters franchise, the Flanagan's franchise, because they have deals that are made a year in advance, right? They'll probably never stop being distributed like in Disney and Universal Studios on a plane. Like these are like really big deals on a Walmart at Publix and stuff like that. They potentially certain channels, what we call it, like a bar, a restaurant, whatever, that's not a franchise, that the owner can make that executive decision and say, I'm not ordering any Budweiser products. I'm not ordering Stella. I won't order Shock Top. I mean, they have a lot of brands. And outside of the US, they have even more brands, because over here, there's antitrust laws for monopolies. And so, for example, a lot of people don't know that Anheuser-Busch owns Corona and the entire Grupo Modelo portfolio, which includes Corona, Corona Light, Modelo. I forgot the other ones right now. And they couldn't. So in the US, it's not sold and distributed by Anheuser-Busch. It's Constellation Brands. And that's only because of a monopoly, like antitrust law. So even outside of the US, they're like making money off like Corona.
They're
and
not
like,
going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. I mean, look, the beer wars. I don't like. I'm not telling people not to do something about it. Like, I don't fucking drink Bud Light. Like, right. I've always hated Bud Light.
It's like a personal vendetta.
It's a personal vendetta. We had beef back in the day. They fucked me over in the market. They took my business deals. They overpaid my fucking customers. So I have beef. I have personal beef with Budweiser, okay? I would love for nothing more than Budweiser to fail. But the reality is that they have 70% of the market share around the world. Around the world. And a lot of people say like, just go to the microbrewery, go to your local brewery. You guys have no idea how many of this big brand, because of this mentality, they bought off those microbreweries. That's why Shock Top used to be a smaller brewery and it belongs to Budweiser now. Right. And Goosehead or great. What is it called? The Goose.
Yeah, Goosehead.
Goosehead. Goosehead is also a Budweiser brand. And, you know, Veza Azur here in Wynwood and Wynwood. And that one was it's a Heineken brand. People don't know that.
Because they've purchased all of these microbreweries in order to maintain. Because, of course, there was a craft beer became a thing. And then they needed their market share in that as well.
Yeah,
it's hard. The cancellation of a lot of these corporations are big. That's why the solution really is to shop.
I mean, I don't drink.
Shop beer, Patriot, so right? If you know, find the Patriot beer brand and buy from them. And you know, you guys have to be willing to also
Yingling.
They own Yingling.
No. You guys can drink Yingling. Yingling is like one of the last legitimately brewed. Like all American beer, they supported Trump in 2016. They got in trouble during 2016.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got in trouble.
Drink more Yingling. We should be telling people to drink more Yingling.
Drink Yingling for sure. If you guys like that.
How about Guinness? Where does Guinness fall under?
Guinness is owned by Diageo, which is like they have like a portfolio of like all these different brands, including liquor and stuff like that.
All right. So now we know Yingling supports Donald Trump and that's what we should be drinking more of. But that really is the solution. A lot of times it's not canceling these brands. You're probably never going to be able to, but you can cancel them by taking your dollars elsewhere. And it does require a little bit more research. And in honesty, it does require a little bit more money because when you're shopping in America, you're not getting the Chinese price cuts. Therefore, it has to be a commitment that you're willing to make, which understandably it's a sacrifice, particularly right now when eggs are $10. But nonetheless, the only way that we're going to be able to move forward is by conscious capitalism, like truly being aware of the brands that you are putting your dollars towards. Who are you supporting? It goes so far beyond the product anymore. You need to know, is my dollar going to pursue some kind or push forward some kind of ideology that I don't agree with? Because every company is taking an ideological position now. You can't just go out and be a consumer and buy a product because it's a superior product. Now you have to actually ask yourself, am I enabling this company to use their influence to strip me of my rights by purchasing from them? But again, you have to be willing, you know, even when you're looking at merch, for example, we would never want to sell something that isn't made in the USA, but the cost goes up significantly. People are like, well, we're not going to buy a t-shirt if it's $50. Well, if it's not $50 and the only way I can get a shirt down to $35 is if I buy from China.
Yeah.
So the consumer has to be able to see the value in buying American, and it needs to be bigger than just the product. It has to be about pushing the ideology and the power of conservatism back into the main stage.
For sure. For sure. But yeah, don't drink. I mean, drink tequila. I actually think that if more people understood that alcohol is a downer, except for tequila. The reason why tequila is not a downer is because tequila is actually made with the agave plant versus how they make vodka and everything else. So if you're going to drink something and you want to be a skinny legend by the summer, just drink the tequila and ice and lemon.
Doesn't it also help you burn calories like while you're drinking it and get you into a deficit? Like, I feel like I've heard this before where tequila is like the alcohol that can put you into a calorie deficit when you drink it.
Yeah.
So maybe like tequila. Eating celery.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, here we are doing marketing for tequila for you.
I just want to give a shout out to our super chats. Davina Detrick, I hope I said that correctly. She said, thank you for all your hard work. Linda and Bella. Thank you so much. And then we have Shardé Westmans. Hi, love. She just sent a heart. I know that she is in Amsterdam. So I don't know what time it is in Amsterdam. I think it's like 3 a.m. But she wakes up to come see us.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for our for your contributions. We are self-funded. We pay for all of the production studio and Angel's talent out of our own pockets. So your contributions really help to offset those costs so that we can continue to bring you content. So we appreciate your support always.
Yes.
All right. So
we wanted to tell you guys about a crazy personal experience that we're finally able to talk about.
Wait, are we going to talk? Wait, let's finish the show with that. Let's talk about Wisconsin first.
Okay.
Let's talk about Wisconsin and what happened in Wisconsin. So for those of you that are unaware, Wisconsin just had an election. A Supreme Court judge, a liberal Supreme Court judge was elected. The conservative lost. And Twitter is a meltdown because for 24 hours until people started getting corrected, it seems like the anti-Trumpers were trying to do everything that they could to blame Trump for that loss.
These are the same people that have said that Trump needs to go away, that Trump is a cancer, that Trump is toxic, that, you know, people are tired of Trump, the Trump effect, and that he needs to go away. But then when he doesn't say anything about this justice for this Wisconsin Supreme Court, then they blame him. They blame him for not winning the race. Okay. And he's like, oh, but he's the leader of the Republican Party. This is supposed to be the leader. This is supposed to be this. Like, bitch, you can't have it your way. Like, this is not Burger King. You can't have it your way and think that whenever you want Trump to come out and save the day, and then when he's supposed to go away, like, that's not how it works. And it's the same characters that we see over and over again who have turned against Trump, against his supporters. And now every single time that something happens, he's responsible for it. I went off today, too, about January 6th. Let me just actually finish that thought. I went off today because I saw someone and they said, this is a new like narrative. Like, I voted for Trump twice. Like, I was one of his biggest supporters. But, like, I was very disappointed after January 6th because he didn't do this, because he fundraised off this, and all this stuff. And so I say to her, why is it? And he's like, oh, when he left his more ardent supporters like rotting in jail. And I was like, I'm like, let me just ask you guys a question. Like, what do you guys think of this? And I said, there are millions of people, or I want to say close to 1 million people that showed up to January 6th, including both of us. Okay. And none of us went inside of the Capitol. None of us, I didn't even know what had happened at the Capitol until I got out of the ellipse, because I was inside the actual venue where Donald Trump was speaking. No. We were like a mile away from the Capitol, perhaps even more. None of us knew what was going on at the Capitol. None of us sat watching Trump. I was literally like 10 rows behind Trump. None of us sat there and said, oh my God, immediately after, you know, I leave this venue, we're going to go like have an insurrection. Like, that never happened. None of us knew. There were thousands of people that showed up. Nothing happened to these people. Donald Trump never said, go inside of the Capitol, go take that. So I say to this girl online, I said, but what about the rest of us? Are we not also big supporters of him simply because we didn't end up in jail? Like, is that like the barometer of like, you're the most ardent supporter because you fucking ended up in jail? Like, where is your personal responsibility? Listen, I feel bad for these people. I'm not saying that they should be there. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything about it. I'm not saying, but this whole thing, like, and I want you to explain the casualties of war, because you said that really well in my house the other day. But like, where the fuck is the personal responsibility from these people?
Yeah.
Like, do you see what I mean? Like, what? And I said, you know, you and I, like, I went to every single rally in 2020. Mm-hmm. I flew to Washington, D.C. within 5 days' notice in November. I went in December and I went in January. Are we not some of his strongest supporters simply because we didn't end up in fucking jail and in solitary confinement?
Yeah. And you know what I find continuously when I come across these people that have that same kind of statement where they're like, oh, well, Donald Trump forgot about the protesters. I didn't go out there for Donald Trump. I'm a Donald Trump supporter. Don't get me wrong. I believe that there was an injustice that took place in November 2020, but I didn't go out there for Donald Trump. I went over there because as an American, what happened in November was unprecedented, and I was concerned for the sake of my country. And I went to peacefully protest, not for Trump, for my country. So I've noticed that a lot of the people who say this weren't there. You were not there. You don't get to tell the people that were what they were there for and what the expectation is. The problem is that everybody wants change. Everybody says we're ready to go to war and demand change. Wars have casualties. These casualties usually mean death, limbs missing. In our case, we have patriots that are going to be serving sentences of a few years long as a result of the occupation that we live under right now. That is a war casualty. I heard Jesse Kelly today under the post, and Jesse Kelly was going off about how he hadn't said anything about the J6 prisoners and how, you know, he really showed where it was that his loyalty was at. And Jesse Kelly's going off and off and off about these J6 prisoners. And it's like, dude, the majority of these J6 prisoners will tell you what I'm saying. They were there for their country. Yeah, they weren't there absolutely. For Trump. If you went over there expecting that Trump was going to get you out of trouble or whatever it is, you weren't there for the right reason. So his whole entire bit was that, oh, you know, Trump's around to get indicted and he's telling people to go out and protest. And then Jesse Kelly's like, for what? Don't go out and protest. Stay home because it's going to be a setup. What are you guys actually programming yourselves for? To never protest again? It's part of your constitutional right to protest for a reason. Yeah. The PSYOP of January 6th was to scare you.
So that you never did
far
that.
Beyond belief that you would never think about protesting, coming together again. Why? Because it's effective. It's effective. That's how the left always gets what they want, because they protest, because they rally. And if you have to understand that there's a cowardice behind that. When you tell me I'm not going to protest because I'm scared of the setup. Well, here's a novel idea. The setup is to get you to do something illegal. Don't do something illegal. When people that walked into the Capitol were very well aware whether or not the door was open, that they were not supposed to be in there. They might not have understood the unfair ramifications that were going to come with that, but you make an adult decision to walk into a place that you know you're not supposed to be at. So why this accountability lands on Trump? Trump himself is a casualty of war.
Literally, he's going through his own shit.
He is a casualty.
He is
we
a J6er.
We are all going
he
through is it. A J6er. This is what happens. This is the result of a global occupation trying to subvert America. And now you have a choice as patriots. Do you proverbially fight back? I got to be careful with my words. Do you fight back by protesting and making your voice heard? Or do you coward up and get into the fetal position and stay at home because you're scared of the FBI? Bro, the FBI is going to get you at home. There's people going to jail for memes. Wake up.
It's this
conversation. And that's another thing. Well, he didn't pardon them. At what point did you want him to pardon him when they started arresting people in February when Trump was already not in the White House?
Oh, they said that he could have done some blanket pardon that Jimmy Carter did back in the day. It's like,
yeah, he could have sent the tanks and the military is the only way, and all these hopes and dreams that everybody have that are not rooted on reality. There's none of these arguments. And here's a lot of the reasons why Linda and I get so much friction is because we're pragmatic thinkers and we look at things from a perspective of like, all right, let's be realistic. The big Hollywood ending of him, I'm going to pardon all the J6 prisoners and the gates around the White House were to keep them in and we're going to take over and there's going to be a coup. Stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop it. That's not realistic. That's not pragmatic. Look at the situation that we're in. Mm-hmm. They just indicted a former president. This is the reality that we're in. We were just talking about Fauci. Was he supposed to do fire Fauci? And then what? What would they have done to him? They would have crucified him. Oh, he shouldn't have pushed. Oh, he wasn't going to offer a shot. Yeah, good idea after 1,000 years of vaccine programming in this country that guy's going to say like, no, we don't need one. Yeah, let's just charge him with genocide. None of these ideas.
They're not rooting around.
Let's have a coup. Tanks down the street. Let's arrest Obama. And then what? You think that half the country isn't going to rise up to this totalitarian leader that just decided to arrest three former presidents? presidents, it's not rooted on reality.
None of it is.
None of it is. And the people that have turned on Trump, those are the ones that are most far disconnected from reality.
They're like manic. They're literally manic. They're fucking manic. They're like not mentally sane. They're not. Look, even with the Wisconsin situation, it's like, well, he should have said this. He should have said that because, you know, I'm like, what? Like, what is seriously wrong with these people? What is seriously wrong with you guys? You guys say that he should stay away from elections when he does stay away from elections, because that was the choice. That was what the justice wanted. He said, I do not want Trump's help. He didn't think it would be good for him, even though Wisconsin turned red for the first time in 2006, and it's a blue-collar place, populist, who leaned towards Donald Trump. He said, stay away from my race, and he did, and when Trump did, he obviously got more shit. I want to give a shout-out to Biggs Clips. He says, the people running the RNC and campaign fund are pure boomers and neoliberal and neoconservatives. They're an absolute fucking worst. Honestly, like, the Republican Party just disappoints me every day more and more and more. And then I talk to influencers and I try to see, like, I talk to them on the side. I try to see, like, try to feel the temperature to see if they feel what I'm feeling, and they're not. They're all about, like, unity, and they still think that, like, the Republican Party is, like, the better choice. Cringe. And I'm in the whole, like, both parties, the unit party, are fucking us over. So I'm basically alone. A shout out to Hablando Como Los Locos. Hi, ladies. Trump 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and more. Let's go.
They just got their forever. Channel back, too.
Yay. Congrats on the channel. Then we have another super chat by Torres Martiela Arts.
Martial arts.
Thank you so much for your contribution. You guys know this log goes a long way for us because we pay for our studio. We pay Angel, our lovely producer. I was gonna say editor. That's not the right term. Editor.
He does a little bit of everything.
He does a little bit of everything.
A little personal assistant.
He does a little bit of everything.
Has a drink and drink ready when we pop in. Yeah. You know.
I told this to a follower of ours that I actually ran into. Was it a follower that I said, well, what do you think I would do if I were mayor of Miami? Like, what would, like, so many people ask me to run for office and they don't understand that I can actually play politics. So if I came into power tomorrow and I'm at a low level, like, because let's be compared to, like, senators and compared to, like, the president or people in the White House, like, obviously, like, mayors are, like, the fucking bottom feeders, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have big roles. Like, I'm not shitting on them, but, like, compared to, like, everybody else in Washington, D.C. So, suppose that I become mayor
under my reign,
under my rule. I'm not allowed to be a fascist. I'm not allowed to be the dictator that I want to be. I'm not allowed to do things that I can't say on this channel. So that I would have to play a role. I'd have to play the mayor's role. I'd have to play a rule, right? I'd have to play by the fucking rules. So I have a pandemic that comes, and the pandemic comes. What am I supposed to do as the mayor of Miami? Do I say, I am not going to allow the distribution of vaccines? I'm not going to allow the federal government, Joe Biden, to give us any vaccines, or whoever was in charge. Let's say it was Trump. Like, what is the alternative? Right. What is the alternative? Because Trump many times said he didn't care for the vaccine. It was a cold and we could just get hydrochloroquine. And there were so many options that even the YouTube didn't allow you to say here because you get banned or promoted. Right. Then there was a horse tranquilizer and da, 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 da. So what would I do?
What are their alternatives?
What are my options?
No, because what they wanted was for him to end up in jail. They wanted him
to
end up in jail for the moral fight. That's what they wanted. They wanted him to be like, I'm going to be into vaccine. We're never going to have one. And then Trump would have been arrested midway through 2020. And he wouldn't even have probably had an election. Mm-hmm. It's again, back to the part where it is unrealistic. This is the reality that we exist in. Mm-hmm. Trump is trapped in here with the rest of us,
right?
Too.
There's nothing I can do about it except follow the rules and say, hey guys, you know, if you're, you know, 55 and over, you know, we recommend that you get a vaccine. You don't have to, but we have them available. They can be on Walgreens and blah, blah, blah. And we have these points of distribution. It's like any fucking job. It's like any job. It's any job. But you ask Anomaly, if you ask any of these people, what should he have done differently? And they can't tell you that because it's not rooted on reality.
It's not rooted on reality.
Yeah.
Speaking of not being rooted on reality, we want to talk to you guys about something that we have been unable to talk about up until now.
Very sad we don't have a picture of this.
Very sad that we don't have a picture, but we will be posting it later over on our Telegram channel. So feel free to go. I don't know if I'm feeling extra spicy. We might post it on our Instagram. But for those of you that are unaware, well, and all of you are unaware, lawfare is very real. And it is the opposition's favorited way of slowing down any progress that you're making, particularly for activists that are locally involved.
It's what's happening to Trump too, when you think
engaged,
about it.
It's exactly what's happening to Trump. When they have you engaged in lawfare, well, you're wasting resources. Now it attacks your wallet. Mm-hmm. You're wasting time because you have to dedicate time to putting a case together, going to court, driving back and forth. It kills your morale. It makes you not want to keep going because look at how complicated my life has gotten. I have to go to court now because I had to deal with this lunatic. That's the intention anyways. Not that any of that would work on us. So good luck, haters. But lawfare is, in fact, very real. For the last 2 years, we'll tell you guys know very well that Linda and I have been involved in activist efforts for the last 2.5 years now. You know that we very much led the efforts in Miami-Dade, at least that initial momentum that took place with those school boards. We made a significant change that we believe echoed across the entire country. We've got followers all over the country that became engaged in school board fights because of our testimony and our own efforts, right? Because you can talk about it, you need to be about it. And that's something that Linda and I are very big on. A lot of influencers are out there telling you what needs to change. Very few of them are actually doing what needs to be done to make a change. Anyways, during these efforts, we were infiltrated. And we were infiltrated with intention by provocateurs that were hoping to neutralize us, to slow down our efforts. The way that it happens is, if you guys can program your mind to thinking that this is something out of a spy movie, because it very much feels that way, is that they will insert problematic figures into your activist circles. Somebody that can act as a best friend, somebody that can act as a boyfriend, a girlfriend, an acquaintance, somebody that's helping you with a business proposal. And the intention of these people are, number one, to gather intel on you that then can be used later on in order to slow down your efforts, and B, just keep you distracted. If you're busy fighting one another, if you're busy working on a fake project, all of those things take time away. We met a woman by the name of Marivy Betancourt. We met her at the local GOP. I'm actually the one that met her. And I really should have known from the moment that I met her. She was feeding me information on we were at that moment doing research on the mayor. And she was feeding us initially from the moment that she meets me, she starts feeding me information with the mayor. We developed a friendship with this woman. She was in my house. We hung out with her. We counted on her. We started an organization with her. I did, called Florida Women's Board, where we were going to help people that wanted to run for public office, give them the tools that they needed to figure out that initial kind of how to apply, how to start a campaign. For a year and a half, this woman was subverting us and trying to sabotage our efforts. And in early 2022, we discovered that we were getting subverted. We found out what her history was, and therefore we decided to end contact. Little did we know that that's when phase two of the operation would be launched against us. This woman, along with two other people that she had inserted into activist circles, very triggered by an election. We were doing a voter registration that we had done with Scott Presser down here in Miami-Dade. They became very triggered by that, and therefore the attack started. Some of you might see them in our chats.
Can I cut you off for a second? Let me just say something. When we started seeing, because Bella and I are very, we're very smart individuals, not just like book smart, we're very intuitive. So when we start feeling that things are not right, I was never a fan of Mariví. Like, I always found her very intrusive. I didn't understand why, people wanted to be around her, because I didn't feel like she brought anything to the table. Like, I already have really good relationships with a lot of people. So I wasn't really understanding why they wanted her around, but whatever. I thought it was just me being a bitch. So I kind of like gave her a try. But with that being said, there was a point where we started seeing that things started getting a little bit kind of weird and too hectic over at the school board meeting. So we stopped going all together. And it was kind of like we wanted to stay away from the drama. Like, we started seeing how activists were like fucking each other and having relationships and going to happy hour and being a lot more personal. And that's not what we wanted, right? Like, we didn't want to be friends with these people or wanted to work with them for a common goal. So we kind of stepped away from the entire scene. In fact, we didn't go to the Lincoln Day dinner, but that was last year, right? That was last year.
Yeah, that was
We actually stopped going to stuff because we knew that they would show up, and we just didn't want to be like caught in the same like environment, if you would say.
Well, because we knew that it had the potential of being problematic, and we knew that it had the potential of getting out of control. The biggest piece of advice that we can give to activists out there is that you very much have to treat it like a job. When you go into work, there's people that you like and people that you don't like. You still have to work with them. There's always a level of distrust where maybe you're not talking about your personal life at work. And that's how activism has to be looked at, because if not, it's not that we're against forming personal relationships. Clearly, Linda and I have a relationship based off our activism and coming together, but you need to be very careful, because there is a lot of people that are infiltrated. When they see that you have even the slightest bit of influence, that will try to subvert your attention, will try to subvert your efforts.
Right. second part of the operation, which is when a lot of things have happened at this point. You know, a lot of things have happened. A lot of drama has happened, and we find ourselves in a situation where a woman named Alexandra Caballero and this guy named Noel Salgueiro, he used to be a Proud Boy. They had a relationship. She was a married woman with children. She cheated on her husband with this Proud Boy and had an entire relationship. When that relationship went sour, the drama in Miami-Dade started, and it took over, and it was extremely nasty because it was like romantic like bullshit going on, but somehow they wanted to get us involved because of our social media platforms. And can you like, don't say this and post this.
Well, I mean,
and that.
Go back to the part where both Mariví and Alexandra were both trying to handle us, if you will, like handlers, like exactly what you would imagine a handler is.
Mariví
like.
More, Alexandra no.
More, to get us to use our platform to attack certain political figures that we didn't think needed to be attacked, to attack people that maybe she had personal vendettas with that we didn't want to get involved with. And we noticed that the more we opposed to that, the more aggressive it became. So this woman, Alexandra Caballero, for the last year and a half has been unhinged. You guys have heard us talk about our stalker. If you're on our Telegram channels, you've probably even been messaged by this woman.
You've seen us talk about her on Telegram.
For the last year and a half, this woman has been aggressively cyber-stalking us. Not just cyber-stalking us. She
harassing
calls
us
at all hours of the night. She sends us text messages.
Impersonation.
My husband. She's messaged former colleagues, former friends, former relationships.
Unhinged.
This has gone on every single day for the last year and a half. And a couple of months ago, we don't even know exactly what triggered her outside of the norm, because it seems like everything triggers her. A couple of months ago, she served us with temporary injunctions. Well, mine didn't go through, but she served us with temporary injunctions, making the most outlandish claims that we were trying to kidnap her children and that we were stalking her, making threats, all of it based on lies. And here's the part that's concerning. This woman has openly talked about her relationships within the Miami-Dade Police Department. Marivy Betancourt's family works within the Miami-Dade Police Department. So they were obtaining information about us directly from the police and leveraging that. When this woman that claims that she's scared for her life and therefore she's taking out a restraining order showed up to Linda's house to serve her with the cops and a camera. Why? Because that's what they do. They want to record you getting served like they did to Noel Seguero. And then they use Noel Seguero served with his temporary injunction that was also denied to slander the entire Miami-Dade GOP and REC to say that this extremist had been served with a protective order during an REC meeting. Why? Because they called the press. The same woman called the press and got them to record while the guy was getting served. And that was her intention, to also record us getting served so that this information can then be given to Antifa and be used to slander us, ruin our reputation, or whatnot. Lawfare is very real. The entire couple of months that we've been dealing with this, we could not believe that we were actually in a situation where we had made the conscious decision to not be involved in this and that the courts had been weaponized against us with zero merit. This woman had 16 appearances in front of that judge, 10 different injunctions against activists in Miami-Dade County. How the courts allow this woman to waste county resources and time. 16 visits. Now, the good news is that we do not have the injunctions were thrown out because clearly they were baseless. I would have probably never mentioned her name or Marivy's name, but since now it got to this level, we think it's important because we're actually concerned for the rest of Miami-Dade because we hear that these women are now operating out of Miami Lakes, Hialeah. So what happens to those activists? Well, we're not going to stop. They're going to have to retire from their operations. They're going to have to bring in new operatives. I'm sure it's not that difficult, but they are going to have to retire from their operations because whenever we see activists getting close to you, we're going to describe our experience and what it was that we experienced.
This woman one time called me from a prank number from the FBI, and I took a shit like almost because I have a missed call from the FBI. Imagine like your thing reads FBI, okay? Do you know in the state that we're in with January 6th and what's happening to the country? I called back the FBI and I wanted to cry. And they confirmed that it was a prank. Like, no, we haven't called you. And then immediately I was like, oh, it's for sure a prank of this crazy bitch. And it was her. And she did many other things. She would call Bella using my phone number.
Yeah.
And I was right next to her. And she's like, are you calling me? I'm like, no, I'm not calling you. And it was her. She subscribed me to all these like car insurance things so that I would get all these calls from like, hi, like you signed up like for like the Geico, like Progressive.
A year and a half.
Emails, a year and a half. She would open up like she you know, the craziest thing is that during the hearing, which was Monday, the judge knows who this woman is, and she knows that it's all baloney and bullshit because she has 10 cases. She was part of something like 16 cases and then 10 cases where she was either a petitioner or a respondent, meaning that she either like
initiated
the temporary injunction or somebody filed it against her. And then 6 of them, she had done it against somebody. And every single time she claimed the same reason, which is that she literally said that we wanted to kidnap her children. And she goes to the family courthouse. This is so you guys understand how corrupt the system is and how women particularly use the court system to come after their kids' parents and people like us. Like she literally went to the court to say that we wanted to kidnap her children. Like, these are serious allegations. And, you know, when the judge, why is there a communist here? When the judge was asking her these questions, like probing her and asking her like, well, how do you know Linda and all this stuff? And she's like, she literally had to tell the judge that she had only met me one time because we had only met one time. And the last time was December 2021. It is now 2023 and this woman hasn't been able to get over us. During the hearing, what I thought was hilarious was that she was almost like pretending that she was the social media personality, that she was the social media influencer, and that we had gone to the Miami New Times together because we had put on like we whatever. And like when the judge started asking me questions, I was like, well, let me just clarify something. Like, I'm the person that has the platform, not her. Like, I don't cyber stalk her because I don't know her platform. She doesn't have a platform, right? But you know, throughout this process, just so you guys know how bad Florida is, like, I had to give up my gun.
That's the point.
I had to give up my guns. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, I had to give up my Second Amendment right in the free state of Florida. I had to give up my guns because this fucking crazy bitch made up allegations against me, went to the court, and the court ordered that I had to give up all my ammunition and all my guns because of, wow, I had this temporary injunction and then went to court and now everything's fine. Everything's dropped.
But it does bring up a point, which is the conversation currently happening around praising Ron DeSantis. And we're going to wrap it up with this. But, you know, there's all this praising going on with Ron DeSantis because he gave us, everybody's saying that he gave us constitutional carry. No, he didn't. He gave us permitless carry. You still have to conceal your weapon. We don't have open carry like we were promised, which is actually the consolation prize that Ron DeSantis offered patriots because he refused to talk about the absurd red flag laws that we have here in Florida, which are some of the strictest in the entire country. Somebody innocent, completely innocent, not one person, correction, at least six innocent people had to give up their weapons because a crazy, unhinged lunatic with a history of psychiatric issues, this woman filed these false injunctions, and six patriots had to give up their guns and put themselves in a vulnerable position because the system is rigged. Ron DeSantis, don't let this hoopla about the permit. Oh, we're about permitless carry. Now, this isn't a win.
Yeah.
Florida has the most infringing red flag laws on your Second Amendment than anywhere else in the country. And I will never clap or support anything that Ron DeSantis does for Florida when it comes to our Second Amendment, as long as we continue to have red flag laws that put people like Linda and I at a disadvantage at the hands of lunatics like Alexandra Caballero.
I had to give up my guns. I had to give up my ammunition. And basically, you know, obviously she had no proof and the case was dropped and I knew that was going to happen. It was dismissed. But at the same time, like even the judge pretty much knew that she was lying. I mean, she's a judge, so she's going to stay in her, you know, very political, unbiased way. And she's a very nice person. But I could tell, I could read her energy. She's like, you know, you've been through this court like 6 times, 10 times. And every time somebody's, you complain about somebody is that they want to steal your kids, that they want to kidnap your kids. Like, that makes no sense. Like, every single person that's been through here wants to kidnap your kids. And I told the judge, I said, I'm the one that has a platform. I'm the one that has an image to keep. This woman literally went to my building. She went inside of my building and recorded herself trying to serve me an injunction so she could put a phone to my face, record it, and then leak it on the internet. All because I don't even know why. I mean, like,
political
seriously,
opposition. It's
political.
It's political.
It's political opposition. And there's nothing we can do about it because the laws are against us.
Which is why we need to stand up. Let's give a couple of shout outs to the last couple of contributions, guys. Again, we depend on you guys so much. So when you guys come through for us, we truly appreciate you keeping us alive and keeping the lights on. So Dama, $5 donation, says, thanks for covering the Wisconsin Supreme Court coverage on point. Greetings from mostly peaceful Kenosha. Shauna, $4.99, says, I've never sent a super chat. before, but y'all deserve it. Love y'all and the truth you spread. Trump 2024. Thank you so much, Shauna. And then we have BMAP, a $5 donation, says, love you. You guys inspired me to get involved, and I have been. I've been the only college kid amongst all boomers protesting here in California, Cult 45 MAGA. Linda and I are having a moment with the Zoomers, and we are loving it. The Zoomers love us, and we love the Zoomers.
Absolutely. All right, guys, don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. We will have the audio version tomorrow. And also, don't forget to get your Sentry. If you need a water filtration system, visit sentryh2o.com. You can use our code MPL10 to get 10% off. Bella uses a Sentry. I use a Sentry. My Sentry water right here. And if you definitely don't want to catch any lead, actually, I don't know if you saw, but basically there's like 100 and something counties that the pipes are filled with lead. So the Sentry would remove that, arsenic, fluoride, all of the
Not just because they're our sponsors.
No, they're not. They really are. Because, you need it. Like, you don't want to turn it into a gay frog. And so visit Sentry and support MPL. And then we have a last super chat, which John Waddell Walensky says, thank you for your work. I'm not sure, but slide into our DMs.
Thank you so much for your contribution. We really appreciate you guys keeping the lights on and keeping
and have a blessed happy. Easter, guys.
Yes, blessed Easter. Have a good weekend with your family. Enjoy your eat your fish tomorrow.
And Jesus is King.
Jesus Christ is King, guys. With that said, guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. We will see you guys next week.
Bye.